Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU. 2010 to 2019.
Good morning. You're listening to the New Zealand Music Month segment. This week we've been talking all things 2010s. It's been wonderful so far and it's only getting better. We have with us this morning Rachel Morton. How's it going?
Hello, well, how are you?
Very good, very good.
So good. For anyone that's listening to the podcast, let me just address how, yes, we are filming this the day before. Anyways, so good things all around. Should we also say, where in the world are you right now, Rachel?
I am speaking to you from Edinburgh in Scotland, UK.
How exciting. Yeah. Our first
very far away.
International guest.
Yeah.
Breaking time zones.
I
think so. We maybe talked to people in Australia before, but you know, that's not nowhere near as exciting and exotic as Scotland.
No.
So we'll just start off with some introductions from you. So what were you doing in the 2010s? What was Rachel up to?
Well, I was working in a little bar in Littleton and became sort of friends, acquaintances then friends with the owners and operators of RDU, James Mihari and Karen South. And then Christchurch Ototahi was hit by a pretty significant event in the form of earthquakes, which, as everybody knows, completely altered the face of the city. Mm-hmm. And I was out of a job, but I was getting paid business interruption insurance from the lovely New Zealand government. And so after a couple of weeks of just sort of fannying around, I felt like I needed to be doing something with my time. And so I started volunteering for RDU.
Ah.
That's how it all came about. James was sort of telling me that he had this harebrained scheme to put a radio station in the back of a horse float. And I was like, cool, do you need any help? And ended up like stapling AstroTurf to the inside of it. And yeah, that kind of started me on a journey, which actually this year marks 10 years of working in music.
Wow, that's so exciting.
That's
pretty much all thanks to RDU. Yeah, so I started volunteering at the station and then I started reading the news on the breakfast show with Spanky.
Ah!
So cool. Then I produced his show, moved into sales, and then I became the station manager. And I was with RDU for almost 6 years, which was amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
That's
quite long-winded.
No, that's perfect.
Exactly
what we want to hear. There are so many key phrases RDU-wise that young people like us, I suppose, don't know. So I want you to please run down what these four phrases mean. The horse truck. The horse float.
So it was designed to carry horses, correct? And you converted it.
Yeah, it was a 1985 Canter horse float that I had to learn to drive on. James would take me around Heathcote and I would have really nightmarish times trying to, because I had a huge stick shift, like it was a big truck. But once I got the hang of it, it was super fun to drive. Yeah, it was designed for horses and he gutted it, and him along with Aragon Urquhart from User Friendly Computing, here's a wee shout out Aragon, he and a couple of other folks, like, oh man, so many people pulled together and just gutted the thing and put the whole station, what we managed to salvage out of the university buildings at Canterbury Uni, into the back of this thing.
So cool.
And we drove it around. Me and Gabe Calcott, the PD messenger who does the 420 show, he and I would do shifts. We'd pick it up really early in the morning from the Phantom Bill Stickers warehouse round on I think Madras Street maybe. And then we'd literally have to park it up and point an aerial at hill to get a signal.
Oh my goodness.
You couldn't make this shit up. It was wild.
Wow.
It was rogue.
That's so amazing.
So was this
it was super cool.
Is this the RD unit? As well, is this,
this
the
is
same
the
thing?
RD unit.
That is the,
yes.
Okay.
Good. We needed to know that. That's the thing. Like people here just talk about it. Like you remember, and I'm like, look, I'm young. Okay, I don't. I've heard about
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I was still, you know, running around playing tag. So yeah. I don't quite remember.
I'll keep those questions coming later on. But until then, we'll get to your first track.
Yeah, your first one is "Here's No Use" by Salad Boys. Do you want to tell us why you picked this one?
I picked it because it's from Metal Mania, which is one of my favorite records, probably ever. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I just had to pick something from Salad Boys because I loved watching them play live in the various places in and around Christchurch during that time. And I just love the band and I love this album and this is my favorite track from it.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for that song. I'm sure it was amazing. I'm not going to fully pretend like I just heard it because that feels like a bit much. But I am familiar with the song and it is a good song. Yes. So, Ben, do you have some more phrases you need to know?
So, Deeknology and the Roundup. Do you want to tell us a brief history of these awards?
Mm.
Oh, crikey. You're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, sorry.
So Deknology and Roundup would be the sort of two prominent events in the RDU calendar year. They were the competitions to discover or determine the best DJ in Deknology's case in Christchurch and then the best artist or band in Roundup's case. Mm-hmm. And in the 2010s, we were holding them down at Ducks Live.
Mm-hmm.
And they were amazing. I remember Ruse won Deknology like 3 times in a row during my time at RDU.
Wow.
And yeah, he was just incredible. He was called That Ruse Kid at the time because he was a baby, I guess. But now, hope that's not too condescending for him. But just like, I remember the first time, like the first round that he won, and he was up against some really, you know, pretty prolific Christchurch DJs, and he was just so electric, and it was amazing. Very exciting times. But yeah, those are competitions. You don't have them anymore?
No, we do. We do. We went to them this year. I think Ben just wanted some history on them because we've only been to one of them so far.
Yeah, well, it's just that many of these key phrases, key events, we don't understand their history. They just happen, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And so thank you for providing a little bit more base to them.
Definitely. Well, we'll play your next track now. You've picked San Pedro by Dopra. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this one?
Yes. For sure. Dopra were sort of, they sadly no longer exist, but they came onto the Christchurch scene when I was at RDU in the 2010s, and they played a show at the Dark Room. And I remember it was like one of those shows where lots of people were just like, oh my God, we're seeing something quite special here. They were just a really, you know how sometimes just a collective of musicians work? And they were just really exciting to watch, and the music was amazing. And they've got like a couple of people in that band that were like just true creatives. Indy in particular is just supremely talented. And Stephen Marr, who's in the band, who's now an engineer up at Roundhead in Auckland, you know, just you can see that like they had something special, and I think this song is just epic, and I couldn't not pick something from them.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, we are here with Rachel Morden talking all things 2010 music. So I wanted to ask you, you're working for RDU, station manager, running the biz, driving around trucks, all that fun stuff. How did you see music, you know, and musicians shift throughout the 2010s, especially, you know, post-earthquake? Was there a significant change in the way people went about making music and playing gigs, or did people kind of pretty quickly just readjust to the new city?
It's funny. It's a good question, because I feel like people always say that in times of trauma, that's where like art thrives, because, you know, it's one of the things that binds people together and people need it desperately. I think there's no glossing over the fact that the loss of venues and the loss of live music space was really damaging to the city and to the scene, especially. Actually, I want to make reference to the electronic scene in Christchurch, which is hugely significant. And I think the loss of clubs and nightlife especially was really damaging. But in terms of other genres, I think there was like, at that time, a pretty crazy resurgence of folk music, especially coming out of Littleton. Like that period saw the birth of, you know, like Marlon Williams, Aldous Harding, the Eastern, these acts that sort of, specifically, it was really, really poignant. And at that time for Christchurch, I think Adam McGrath became a bit of a poster boy for, you know, the earthquake and rallying and community and all that sort of stuff. Gosh, it's so hard to sort of speak to each specific group of musicians that were operating at that time. But people found a way, you know?
Yeah.
Like Jeff Goldblum says in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. So yeah, it was pretty inspiring, actually. I feel like I saw a lot of good music in that time that maybe I didn't expect to. But yeah, I think, was there a shift? Of course there was. There must have been. I'm probably too close to it, or still too close to it now, to really understand what it was. But I do think the impact on the electronic scene and nightlife in that respect was, we're still probably feeling the effects of that now.
Undoubtedly.
Significant.
It's almost been an underlying theme of this week. I honestly thought it was going to be digitalization, but really the theme has been innovation after times of crisis.
Yeah.
So how would you almost compare the quakes to what we've seen today with the COVID-19 pandemic?
Actually, a lot more parallels. It's interesting because I work now in management. I manage artists and I work here in the Northern Hemisphere. And so actually, comparatively to New Zealand, it's been a lot worse here and a lot harder. And I've been working with a charity called Help Musicians, which is sort of focusing on how emerging acts actually, you know, embark on a life in music without live venues, without the ability to gig, even busk. You just can't do any of the things that normally, you know, propel you to start your career. So it's an interesting, I think there's definitely parallels there for musicians at a certain time in their journey, if you will, and not being able to sort of, you know, if you're an established act, you've got that audience there already. But if you're just starting out, it's super hard in a digital sense to garner interest. If you can't actually sit in a room with someone and sing your songs and them have them feel something or react. So, yeah, quite a lot of similarities, I think, in that loss of live music space.
Thank you very much. We have another song picked by you, Culture Clash, by Astaire. You want to tell us about this one?
Yes. So I feel like during a certain period when I was doing I was producing Morning Glory with Mike Field on RDU Breakfast, we played this song arguably too much. And it's by Wellington artist Astaire, who I think is one of the most underrated talents in New Zealand. She's amazing. And the little twinkly, plinky, plonky bits of this song, I just love. I never tire of it. And it's a beautiful sort of narrative around she has her father's Cameroon and French, and she's got a Kiwi mama, and it's like her experiences having these dual cultures form her identity. I just think it's beautiful.
Awesome. Well, let's give it a listen.
To us, I crack the world and spin it.
right. Well, we are still here with Rachel Morden talking 2010 music. Thank you for all the songs so far. They've been fan-freaking-tastic.
Mm. So as we're at the end of the segment, I suppose we should talk about the end of the 2010s. So, yes, the last 5 years of your life, what have you been up to music-wise?
The last 5 years of my life, gosh. Well, I left RDU and left New Zealand to start working for a management company, music management company in Berlin. God, what a cliche. I went to Berlin because, you know, that's where, anyway.
That's where the cool people are.
That was actually quite short-lived. Ended up back in the UK after about 8 or 9 months.
Nice.
And yeah, I've just been, and then I actually ended up back in Auckland for a year, which was kind of interesting as a sort of, I lived in the South Island for 9 years, you know, in Littleton, and was kind of embarking on this trip to Auckland thinking, I'm not going to have any of that, like, South Island Jaffa. That's not me. That's not affected me. Totally had affected me. Arrived in Auckland and was just like, this is bullshit. But yeah, that was actually amazing and totally fell in love with the city and had an incredible time up there and actually volunteered for BFM, our darling sister station, up in Tamaki Makaurau. So yeah, what have I been, I've just stayed in music because I love it and I have RDU to thank for that. I guess I'll not often have this opportunity, but the listenership of RDU could not have welcomed me more, really. It was such a beautiful community to be a part of and a very special time. And it really did, like, sort of set me off on this music path. So I'm very, very grateful to RDU because I'm still doing it now.
Gosh, it's great to be here.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, really cool. It's because Josh and I, look at us.
I know, we're young into our RDU careers, you know, so it's cool to see people, you know, going through it and having such a wonderful experiences during and after. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll play you out with this last song, Not Gambling, by Shocking Pinks. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this one?
So Shocking Pinks are one of those sort of like acts that you really need to see. We had them perform as part of the 40th anniversary of RDU. There was a celebratory exhibition at Canterbury Museum, which I was a part of putting together. And we had 4 live gigs at the museum as part of the exhibition, which was incredible. And Shocking Pinks played one of the nights. And just one of those live shows that I think that's kind of why I picked all these tracks. It's just live shows that make me, maybe I'm missing gigs. I've been to a gig in over a year.
Over a year, wow.
Over a year. August, March 10th was the last show I went to.
Oh my gosh.
In 2020. Yeah, it's wild, right? So yeah, Shocking Pinks, just an incredible live act. Again, Nick Hart is such a talent. And I think this track is just excellent. And I love Shocking Pinks.
Yeah.
So here it is.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Rachel Morden. It's been great talking to you this morning, or I suppose evening for you, your time. And just let me quickly say, as a niche tangent, I love the Scorpio Books ad.
Oh my God. Do you know, I heard from someone recently that it's still on.
Yes,
and I love
it
that.
Is. We hear it. We hear it like very regularly. And every time we go, it's a great ad. It's a great ad.
Oh, so stoked that I'm still on air. That's great.
Of course. Your legacy remains.
Yes. Thank you so much again. We'll play you out with Not Gambling, rather. Shocking Pinks. How are you?
You've been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now That's What I Call RDU.